Thank God today, and this is Pastor Adams, president and founder of Truth Matters Ministries in Atlanta, Georgia. And we're so thankful, we're just so delighted today that you've taken time to join this Truth Matters podcast. And as our tradition, as our custom is, before we get into our podcast for today, we want to pause and pray and go before our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we thank you once again for all of your benevolent love. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness towards your people. We give your name praise today, God, because you are love. And we thank you, Lord, that you can do anything but fail. We give your name glory today because you are the lifter of our heads. You are company keeper in the midnight hour, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of calamity. You are our peace. Lord, you are our quiet in the storm. We glorify you even now, God, because you are the Savior of our souls. You are our Redeemer. We thank you today, Lord God, that you are our company keeper. We give your name glory today because you are our healer. We thank you that you are our provider. We glorify you even now, God, because we know that you are the one that stands by our side. You said that you would lead and guide us into fine pasture. You bless everyone up under the sound of my voice today. Those who are looking for answers, that person, Lord God, who is standing in the valley of indecision, that person that's not really sure which way to turn, I pray that you would be a lighthouse, that you would lead and guide them to safety. Let the Holy Spirit do its job. It convicts them of sin and of righteousness. And it also convicts them, Lord God, of all unrighteousness. And we pray even now that you would watch over your word and perform everything that you've promised. We pray today in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're just so thankful for everyone who's taken time to join this Truth Matters podcast. And we're just so delighted that we have the awesome responsibility of being host in attendance of this very vital ministry of contending for the faith that has once and for all been delivered in the saints, according to Jude 3. And we're just thankful for all of our listeners throughout the world. We thank God for our listeners in India, those who are in France. We thank God for those who are listening in Malta, for those of you who are in South Africa, those who are in Mexico listening. Thank God for Pastor Kimuel, who every day sends me words of encouragement, and we fellowship and we really work together in the great country of the Philippines. Thank God for our ministries in Kenya. Those who are in Liberia, thank God for Pastor Washington there. Thank God for Mother Brown in our outreach in Guyana. Thank God for those who are in Puerto Rico, Singapore, Russia, all throughout Denmark and the Netherlands. We're just so thankful for all of our listeners. And today, we're going to be getting into a very important topic entitled The Truth Concerning God's Judgment. The Truth Concerning God's Judgment. And as we get into this teaching today, I think it's so important that we understand that we do live in a world where history records that mankind has, I'm sure you all know it, we've committed billions of crimes, and there's been billions of injustices that have taken place against each other in the world. I remember here recently, there was a man named Ahmaud Arbery. He was killed as a result of a hate crime. He was killed by racists here just by simply jogging through a neighborhood in Georgia. There have been so many serial killers like the Son of Sam, and I'm sure you've heard of Ted Bundy, and who can forget the Saudi Arabian terrorists who took those planes and they killed over 3,000 innocent people during the 9/11 attacks. I think of cult leader Jim Jones, who caused hundreds to die from poison Kool-Aid in Ghana back in the 1970s. And I could list thousands of criminals such as the infamous Idi Amin and gangster Al Capone and terrorist Osama bin Laden. Who can forget that investment scammer, Bernie Madoff? What did he do? He stole billions of dollars from trusting investors, and he ruined so many families' lives as a result of his crimes. Who can forget Joseph Stalin, who was responsible for over 10 million deaths of his own citizens in Russia? And of course, the infamous Adolf Hitler, who caused over 8 million people to die in concentration camps during World War II. And I'm sure everyone listening today can conclude that these are great and very horrific crimes, right? And I must admit, they are very horrific crimes. But I want you to consider this. What if all of a sudden What if all of a sudden you had a newscast that said breaking news, and on that breaking news story it said that one man in Australia was responsible for the death of 100 million people? One man was responsible for the death of 100 million people. I tell you, the outcry and the scale of such a crime would cause social media to absolutely explode. And the man who killed and was responsible for the death of 100 million people will be considered the most sordid person on the earth, right? But not so fast. See, there is a crime that is much greater and even much worse than that. If they announced that one person was responsible for 100 million deaths. Well, what could be worse than that? Well, God describes the very worst criminal and crime that was ever committed in human history. And you say, Pastor Adams, what was that crime? Well, God reveals that one single man caused billions of people to be plunged into eternal death and eternal separation from our loving God. Now, what crime can be worse than that, you might say? Well, there is no crime worse than that. But the question is, where is that crime recorded? Well, it's recorded in the book of Genesis. I know you've heard it. It reveals that God created man, and he created a man and named him Adam, right? Y'all remember the story? Adam was created holy, wasn't he? He was spotless, without sin, didn't have any blemish or taint. But God commanded Adam. He said, Adam, don't you eat the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. Didn't he tell him that? But Adam, who God gave and granted free will and human autonomy, he was allured and he was tempted by the serpent, wasn't he? And then along with the enticement of his wife Eve, Adam disobeyed God. And by disobeying God, he severed the fellowship and the relationship that God and man had. This sin that Adam caused and his disobedience, it caused a great gulf and a great separation between man and God. See, we must remember this. Don't lose sight of this. Sin stinks in God's nostrils. I remember when I was in the military, we were down in Alabama, and all of a sudden we were doing a patrol and we were getting ready to do an ambush. And all of a sudden at 2 o'clock in the morning, a skunk just sprayed us. And that was one of the stinkiest things I ever heard. But God says that sin stinks worse than a skunk. It stinks in his nostrils. God cannot coexist with sin in his presence. You see, the curse of sin passed from Adam to his sons Cain and Abel. And through the blood seed, every man from Cain, from Abel, from Adam, it was passed from generation. Every man that's born of a woman has the sin curse that's imputed into their soul. That's why the scriptures attest that the soul that has sin or that sinneth shall surely die. So what are you saying here, Pastor Adams? Because of the greatest sin that ever took place, and that is when Adam rebelled against God, sin was passed on to every human being, and every sin that's passed on to man will cause that man to die. Now, this is basic knowledge. We learned this in Sunday school, didn't we? But too many people still live as though they are not filthy. They walk around as if they are not filthy. We spray cologne and perfume on, and we have all type of beautiful scents because we know that we are filthy. But some don't realize that they're filthy. They don't realize that they're soiled with the stench of sin. We live as though we are not going to have to give an account of how we live. So many act as if they don't have to stand and give an account for the way they think. But God says the wages, or the payment that we will receive because of our sin, is what? Death. Listen, if you don't realize that you're sinful, God gave us 10 simple commandments. And understand this, man could not even keep one of them. Why did he give us the commandments? The commandments, because this was God's x-ray, his spiritual x-ray, his spiritual MRI that would demonstrate just how sinful man's nature really is. See, the truth is, we are all children of hell. I know you don't want to say it. It's hard to acknowledge it. Look in the mirror and realize that you are looking at a child of hell. And we are all children of hell, and we are all enemies of God who must face his wrath and judgment for our sins. That's just the truth. And one thing I know for sure, the fact is, there is still sin. There is still crime and murder and injustice occurring every second all around this wicked world in which we live. But what if there was no judicial system or there was no law enforcement in the world? You know what it would be like? We would be living in the world just like roaches and living like wild beasts. Anarchy would persist everywhere in the world. We would already be extinct if there was no judicial system, if there was no enforcement, if there were no precepts or principles and laws in the world. So what did God do? God put judges in the earth. He instituted laws, moral laws, civic laws, and commandments, and finally established a worldwide judgment so that all sins and all injustices will be punished and eradicated forever from the world. Remember, God's love demands that justice is delivered. Say it again, Pastor Adams. God's love demands that justice is delivered. Now, Paul told us something very powerful in Romans 5 and 18. He says, by the offense of one who was Adam, death came upon all men. And all, and not just that, but by the righteousness of one who was Jesus, we all receive the justification of life. So simple. Adam brought us into sin and death. And through Jesus Christ, we can be returned to righteousness and justification of life with God. See, God is just and righteous and is going to judge each man according and during what is called a legal judicial procedure. What is that legal judicial procedure, Pastor Adams? Well, just as in our courts today, there is a spiritual arresting officer that's going to take place. Who is that? It's the Holy Spirit. And then evidence is going to be presented. Where is that evidence coming from? It's coming from the Word and from the record book of our deeds. Remember that. The Word and the record book of our deeds. Yes, God has a spiritual transcriber. Where is that spiritual transcriber at? And what are they doing? They are transcribing everything you say. They're transcribing every thought you have. They're transcribing every deed, every lie, everything that you do, every act of disobedience. Everything that's contrary to his word, he's transcribing it right now. There is a spiritual district attorney. Who is that? That's the law of God, which indicts us. We're going to be indicted by the word and the law of God. And there is a defense attorney. Who is that? That's Jesus, our advocate, who defends our cause. And then God, who is the judge, he's either going to condemn us or he's going to release the accused. We're talking about the judgment of God today. We will look at what the Bible says about God's judgment and what are the types of judgments that men will experience. First, we will look at the judgment that is designed just for Christians. What is that? It's called the Bema, or the reward seat of Christ. I want you to write that down. There is the reward, or the judgment, or the Bema seat of Christ. It's just for Christians. God Questions Ministry reveals that Scripture gives us a big, important reason why we're not to judge one another. What is that, Pastor Adams? Well, it's because we will all stand before God's reward, or Bema judgment seat. See, this word Bema, or reward seat, is a word picture of the tradition of the Olympics, which started in Greece. Only winners appear before the ruler or the host or the person who's going to give out the rewards. So that's how it is in the Olympics. You have the gold medal winner, you have the silver medal winner, you have the bronze medal winner. Well, with this backdrop, it says that the Christians are going to stand before Jesus Christ, who is going to be the Lord on the judgment seat. And we're going to receive either. We're going to receive our rewards, similar to how they do the Olympics, a gold, silver, or bronze medal. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God, according to Romans 14 and 10. You still with me? None of us are qualified to be the judge. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is qualified, and all judgment has been entrusted unto him, according to John 5 and 22. You see, the judgment seat of Christ involves a time in the future when believers will give an account of themselves to Christ Jesus. This is the plain teaching of Scripture. we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. Make sure you write these texts down and go back and study them. The warning is to Christians, not unbelievers. What did you say, Pastor Adams? This warning is to Christians, not unbelievers. See, as Jesus taught in his parable, the king is going to return, at which time he will require an account from his servants, according to Luke 19, the 11th through the 26th verse. The judgment seat of Christ is different from the great white throne judgment, which we're going to discuss a little bit later. That will be the final judgment of the wicked prior to their being cast into the lake of fire, according to Revelation 20, 11 through the 15th verse. Appearing before the great white throne will be unbelievers, but believers will appear before the judgment reward seat of Christ to determine their rewards. See, the judgment seat of Christ does not determine our salvation. That matter was settled by Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, according to 1 John 2 and 2, and our faith in him, according to John 3:16, way since the beginning of the world. All of our sins are forgiven, and there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, according to Romans 8 and 1. That's right, I said that. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 1, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Verily I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has past tense, eternal life, and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life, according to John 5 and 24. So believers are secure in Christ, but they still must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It will be a time of examination, a time of reward. Jesus will inspect our works. What did we do with the resources that God gave us? How faithful were we? Were we yielded to the Spirit? Were we seeking to honor Christ and further his work in the world? If so, we will have a reward, according to Matthew 10, 41 and 42. Did we neglect our opportunities to serve the Lord? If so, we're going to suffer loss of reward. This is what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 25 when he applauded his servant by the commendation, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Now, for those who are not invited to the reward seat of Christ, they must stand before God at the great white throne judgment. What is the great white throne judgment? It's described in Revelation 20, the 11th through the 15th verse. And this is the final judgment prior to the lost being cast into the lake of fire. We know from Revelation 27 and 15 that this judgment will take place after the millennium and after Satan is thrown into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, according to Revelation 19. And the books that are opened in Revelation 20 and 12, listen, they contain records of everyone's deeds, whether they are good or evil, because God knows everything that has ever been said, done, or even thought. And he's going to reward or punish each and every one of us accordingly, according to Psalms 28 and 4, 62 and 12, and Romans 2 and 6. This is the only type of pure and perfect justice that will ever be delivered to mankind. There's not going to be no plea deals at this throne judgment. There ain't going to be no hung juries. There ain't going to be no dismissals for technicalities. There's not going to be no deceptive and lying witnesses. There ain't going to be no judges that's on the payroll. Ain't going to be no racist and biased opinions. It's only going to be unvarnished, naked truth. Now, just imagine for a minute that you have to stand before a judge, and that judge is going to know every sin, every evil thought that you committed, and it's going to be in high definition, microscopic detail. You can run, but you can't hide. You can cover your face, but he can see through the cover. If I was a sinner listening to this podcast today, I would fall on my face before God, and I will repent of my sins. The Bible says, don't fear the earthly judge who can only condemn you to the electric chair or give you death by lethal injection, but fear God who can kill your body. And not just kill your body, he can send your body and your soul to hell forever. That's who you need to fear. Why do I say this? The scripture says another book is open called the Book of Life in Revelation 20 and 12. It is this book that determines whether a person will inherit eternal life with God or receive everlasting punishment in the lake of fire. You mean there's a lake of fire? Yes, there is. Justice demands that sin be eradicated. Justice demands that sin be eradicated. God sent a flood to destroy sinful mankind, right? But it was just a temporary resolve, as man's sin nature was still active through Noah and his descendants. You see, fire destroys things completely, doesn't it? Think about it. Gold is purified in a furnace of fire. The lake of fire or hell was made for the devil and his angels, right? And because of the sin that came to mankind by Adam, sinful man must be cast in fire, not just temporarily, but forever and ever and ever. The Bible says this is the second death. Although Christians are held accountable for their actions, they are forgiven in Christ, and their names were written in the book of life from the creation of the world, according to Revelation 17 and 8. We also know from scripture that it is this judgment when the dead will be judged according to what they have done, and that anyone's name that is not found written in the book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire. The fact that there is going to be a final judgment for all men, both believers and unbelievers, is clearly confirmed in many passages in Scripture. We at Truth Matters Ministries, we hold this view that Matthew 25, 31, and 46 is just another description of what takes place at the great white throne judgment. We point to the fact that the result of this judgment is the same as what is seen at the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. The sheep, believers, enter into eternal life, and the goats, unbelievers, are cast into eternal punishment. Whichever view one holds of the great white throne judgment, the most important thing is to never lose sight of the facts concerning the coming judgment. First, Jesus Christ will be the judge of all unbelievers. They're going to be judged by Christ, and they will be punished according to the works that they have done. The Bible is very clear that unbelievers are storing up wrath against themselves, according to Romans 2 and 5. Believers will also be judged by Christ, but since Christ's righteousness has been imputed to the Christians, our names are written in the book of life. We will be rewarded, but not punished, according to our deeds. Now, my question today is, are you prepared to be judged? Those of you who are listening all over the world, those are in Malta, those who are in Liberia, those who are in Mexico, the Philippines, those throughout all of UK, those are there all throughout Zimbabwe, South Africa. Are you prepared to be judged? You here in America, are you prepared to be judged? You know you're a sinner, but have you decided to turn away from your sins and place them at the foot of Jesus? Are you ready to change your way of living? Are you ready to live the way Jesus commanded us to live? So many listening today are drowning in sin. You're exhausted. You're exhausted with the weight that you've been carrying every day. Jesus wants you to cast your burdens and cares on Him, for He cares for you. Yes, so many of you are even going to church and you testify that you are Christian and you're still living like a devil. You are a down low covert sinner. You are still trying to please men and identify with and gain the approval of this wicked world. Still full of pride and lust and cursings and hatred, anger, and retribution. But today you must decide. That word decide means put to death. That's where we get the word pesticide, genocide, fratricide. Put to death. Decide that you're going to change your former way of living. Just lay it all down now. Look to God and say, Lord, I'm going to lay all of my burdens down. And I accept Jesus' mercy and forgiveness and grace. Will you just say that? Jesus carried an old rugged cross, an old splintered rugged cross for you and I. And he was tortured to pay the sin debt that you owed. Listen, you committed the sin. Jesus paid the fine. Because of Jesus' death and shed blood on Calvary, all who believe in his completed work, in his act of mercy and grace, will escape the consequences of the final judgment and lake of fire. The greatest crime in history has been remitted and paid for by all who come to Jesus Christ by faith and repentance. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you've repented and you've called out and confessed his name with your mouth and believe in your heart and sincerely believe that Jesus is the Redeemer of your sins, now you can boldly stand before God as a born-again believer, redeemed by his blood, and receive the rewards of your faithfulness towards him. Then you're going to hear him say, well done, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done.